Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, Parsha's bow, and the title of the shiur tonight is the reaction of dogs to the angel of death. So tonight we're going to look at the description of Makos Bechoros in the Torah prior to Makos Bechoros occurring. And there's an interesting pasuk which details how the dogs will react in that instance. And we'll try to understand why the Torah mentions the reaction of the dogs in this experience. So if you look in source number one, it's Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalet. We'll start with this week's Parsha and the Psukim. It says, Vayomer Moshe, Ko Amar Hashem, Kachatos Alayla Ani Yotze Besoch Mitzrayim. So Moshe says to Paro, this is what Hashem said. Towards midnight, I'm going to go out in Mitzrayim. Umeis Kol Bechor Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Mi'Bechor Paro Hayoshev Al Kiso, Ad Bechor Shivcha Asher Achar Reichayim, Mechol Bechor Behemah. So we're in source number one, Pasuk Hey. So Moshe explains that what's going to happen is every firstborn in Mitzrayim is going to die, from the firstborn of Paro, who sits on the throne, to the firstborn of the Shivcha, the maidservant, behind the millstone, and every firstborn animal. And the Torah explains that Moshe tells Paro there's going to be a great scream in Egypt, which there was never like it beforehand, and there will never be in the future. And then the Torah says, towards all of Klal Yisrael, there will not be a dog that snarls at any person or animal in Klal Yisrael, in order that you should know that Hashem separates between the Mitzrayim and between Klal Yisrael. And at the end he says to Paro, all of your servants will ultimately come to me Moshe, and bow down to me, and they'll tell me to get out of here, and I'll go out. And he left Paro in anger. So the Torah explains the foreshadowing of Makos Bechoros to Paro, and Moshe explains to Paro what's going to happen. But what I want to take up in the shir is Pasuk Zayin. It says, "Ulechol bnei Yisrael lo yecharatz kel v'shanu lemeishvad behema leman teidun asher yafled Hashem b'mitzrayim v'in Yisrael." So the Torah explains that during Makos Bechoros, there is not going to be a dog that snarls at any person or animal from Klal Yisrael, in order that you should know that Hashem separates the Mitzrayim from the Yisraelim. So what exactly is the necessity to explain that the dogs won't snarl in this experience of Makos Bechoros? The dogs are not going to snarl like at Bnei Yisrael. Why are they even mentioned? Why is it necessary? What's the additional element that we can learn from the idea of the dogs' reactions during Makos Bechoros, that they're not going to snarl at the Jewish people or any animal owned by the Jews, so that we know that Hashem separates the Jews from the Mitzrayim? So we're going to take up that question. What's the role or the reaction of the dogs in Makos Bechoros? Why is that relevant? Why is that so critical that the Torah mentions it in Pasuk Zayin? So if you look in source number two, there are three explanations given by the Riva as to the idea that the Torah is trying to explore with the dogs. And we're going to go through each one, and each one is trying to teach a separate idea about the nature of Makos Bechoros, I believe. So the first one is, it's in source number two. It says, Lo yecharatz kel v'shano, af ki malach ha-maves bala ir, kidechsiv ki ein bayis asher ein shal mes. So even though the angel of death was in Mitzrayim at the time, as we see in the Psukim, every house in the Mitzrayim had a dead person. The Amri b'vavakama, perek hakones. It says in Bavakama, in that Gemara, malach ha-maves bala ir, klavim tzoakim. When the angel of death comes to the city, so dogs bark or they scream. Afal pichein lo yechertzu kach. Lo yechertzu kach ksive bepashte hara mikutzi. So even though dogs scream when the Malach HaMavis is there, they didn't snarl at the Jews. They didn't snarl at all. So the first pshat is based on a Gemara that we're going to look into. But the first pshat is that the Torah is mentioning that the dogs didn't snarl because it's typical for a dog to scream or to bark when the Malach HaMavis is in town. And in this situation, they barked, but they didn't snarl at the Jews. So what is that idea? What's that concept? And then, Dover Acher, Afal Pisha Derech Klavim Litzok Balaila, Afal Pichein Lo Yechertzu, Kach Peir Shrabinu Menachem. So the second explanation is that dogs normally bark at night. And even so, even though it was nighttime when Makas Bechoras took place and the Jews left, nevertheless, they didn't snarl. And the last idea, Davar Acher, Afal Pisha Derech Klavim Linvoach Velitzo Kishiroim Anashim Omdim Umaklam Biyadam. So even though a dog's nature is to bark when they see a person holding a stick or a staff, Afal Pichin Lo Navchu Kishiro Yisrael Umaklam Biyadam Kach Perish Rabbeinu. Nevertheless, when the Jews had their staffs in their hands to leave Mitzrayim, the dogs did not bark at them. So there's three explanations as to what the relevance of the Torah teaching us the dog's reaction in Makas Bechoros. The first one is this strange idea that typically dogs bark or they scream when the Malach HaMavis is in town, when the Angel of Death is in town. And in this situation, the Angel of Death was present because you see that all the dead Mitzrayim. But nevertheless, the dogs didn't snarl at the Jews. That's the first shot. The second shot, or the second explanation, is that dogs bark at night. And in this situation, it was nighttime, but nevertheless, they didn't snarl. And the last explanation is that the dogs didn't snarl at the Jews, despite the fact that they were holding walking sticks, walking staffs in their hands to leave. And normally, a dog does bark at a person who's walking with a staff, with a stick. So what does this add? Each explanation is strange in itself, so we have to explain each explanation and go into it and analyze them to try to get a greater understanding and analysis of what the Torah is trying to tell us, convey to us, by mentioning the reaction of the dogs that they're not going to snarl at the Jews during Makas Bechoros. So let's look at the first Gemara. The Gemara in source number 3 is in Maseches Bava Kama Daf Samech Amud Beis, and it says like this, Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Klovim bochim malach hamavis balair. If the dogs are crying, you know that that's a sign that the malach hamavis, the angel of death, is coming to the city, or has come to the city. Klovim misachakim, if the dogs are playing, Eliyahu navi balair, that's a sign that Eliyahu came to the city. Vehani mili delays behu nekeva. And the Gemara says, these are only signs of either the Malach HaMavis or Eliyahu if there's no female dog around. So Rashi explains, Vahani mila deles behu nekeva, dehasa mishim nekeva hu da'avdi. So when there's a female dog that's close to a male dog, the male dog will either play or he'll either cry, but you can't attribute it to the Malach HaMavis or Eliyahu. You attribute it to the female dog. The female dog is somehow having an impact or an effect on the dog. But the general principle is that when the dogs cry, it's a sign that the Malach HaMavis has come to town. And when dogs, regular dogs, play, it's a sign that Eliyahu has come to town. Except for, as the Gemara mentions, when there's a female dog, then all bets are off. So what kind of idea is this? Obviously, how does this make sense? How should we understand a Gemara that's attributing the idea of a dog barking or a dog crying or playing, indicating whether the Malach HaMavis is in town or Eliyahu? I mean, it requires explanation, because I don't think you have to ask a more specific question, but it doesn't really make sense how a dog would react that way to these incidences. And this is the first pshat of the Riva, as to explain our Torah, our piece in the Torah, because the Riva brings this Gemara down. He says, oh, what does it mean, Lo Yecharatz Kelev, that the dogs didn't snarl? Oh, because when the Malach HaMavis is in town, dogs normally react. He says they're tzoek, they scream. The Gemara says they're bocha. So even though they were either screaming or crying, they didn't snarl at the Jews. So what is this idea of a dog indicating whether the Malach HaMavis is there or Eliyahu? So the Torah's Chaim gives us some insight, and he quotes a funny Gemara, which is important, and he gives us some insight into what this means, but we'll have to take his explanation a little further and try to explain it with the knowledge that we have nowadays. So the Gemara is in, the Torah's Chaim is source number 5. It's on the Gemara. And he says, Klovim bochem malach hamavis balair. Beperek basra de Erevin. So in the last perek, the last chapter in Gemara Erevin, Gabe hadika amar, the Gemara says, Il mole nisna Torah, if the Torah wasn't given, hainu lemedim derech eret mitarnagol. So we will learn out the way to act from the rooster. If not for the Torah teaching us how to act, we could learn it out from nature, from the rooster. What does it mean? Shemafayis v'achakach boel. So first the rooster cajoles its partner, its mate, and then it has relations with the mate. So it doesn't force the mate to have relations with it, but it cajoles it and explains, the Gemara is very funny, it explains how the tarnagel, the rooster, seduces its mate. So it says, "Va'akrakbo pirashdi delavsha tarnagel bardasu lefayes techila." It's not that the tarnagel has intelligence, that it figures out a way to seduce or appease its mate before it has relations with it. Ela shakadosh baruch hu baro beteva zu. The Hashem created the rooster with this nature. Lifshot knuffav ad la'aretz kodem tashmis. So the rooster, it brings its wings down to the ground before it wants to have relations with its mate. Ki'ilu mefayis, as if it's similar to seducing. It's similar to appeasement. The Omer, and it's saying, Zvinana lich, ziga demati lich ad ara. And it's as if it's saying, the Gemara says, I'll buy you a coat that will go down to your feet. Kid Amar Hasam, Kide Shiil Medumimenu bnei Adam Mefayes Tchila. So that men learn from the rooster to be Mefayes, to appease their mates, to appease their wives before they have relations. So the Gemara says, a funny Gemara, it says that we're supposed to learn from the way the roosters mate. With their mates, their future mates. And how do they do that? They appease them first. How do they appease them? They bring their wings to the ground. And the Gemara says openly, it's as if to say, I will buy you a coat up till your feet. That's what they're saying to their mate before they have relations with their mate. And we're supposed to learn from that. And the Gemara is all about how bia and relations should be pleasant. It shouldn't be forced. And this is bringing a raya that the natural order is such. So the Torah's Chaim is saying that we should learn from animals, we should learn from the nature of certain animals how to act. It's not that they have inherent intellect, but it's their nature. V'chein chamoro shel Rav Pinchas ben Yair, the donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, shel ratza lechol bilti me'usar. He wouldn't eat from food that wasn't that miser wasn't taken from. A tenth, lav navi hava. It's not that the animal was a prophet. Elisha Kadosh Baruch Hu mano midlechol. The Hashem prevented this donkey from eating. Ad shi yasru tchila kedesh lo yavu takal lacherim al yidei behemtan shel tzadikim, until Meiser was taken first, so that there wouldn't be any destructiveness caused by the animal of a tzaddik. So it was a hashkacha. It was a divine intervention. V'hacha nami here too. Yesh lefarish ki agavna devadei klovim lav bnei das ninu. Dogs don't have the same type of intellect that people have. Ella Kadosh Baruch Hu baran b'tevazu. But this is the nature of dogs. Livkos kishyesh malcha maves ba'ir. It's so that they cry when the malcha maves is in town. V'lischok, and to play kishyesh eliyahu ba'ir kadesh yedu akol. It's in order to notify everyone else. Lefazer raglehen kishba eliyahu, to spread out their legs when Eliyahu is here. La'ir lechanis raglehen kishba malcha maves la'ir. And so that everybody should know that they should bring their legs in when the Malcha Mavis is in town. So the Torah's Chaim says, he's trying to explain that the dogs don't have free will and they don't have an intellect, but this is their nature, and their nature is such, in order for us to learn from them, that they're supposed to indicate to us whether we should relax and be joyous or whether we should be fearful. And the dog's nature is such, just like the rooster's nature is such and the chamor of Pinchas ben Yair was such, in order to, it's not that they had free will or intellect, but they were created in a way to teach us an idea, to teach us some type of, to give us some indication. And the indication is to teach us either to relax, lefazer raglehen, that we should spread out our legs, or we should be fearful because the Malach HaMavis is in town. So what exactly, maybe we could understand this a little further. What is this idea that the dog was created with this nature? What is this nature of the dog? And can we explain it more, I guess, scientifically or based on the knowledge that we have, Bizman Azeh, what he means? So if we look in, so I had an idea, and it was based on the story of Cain and Hevel. And maybe we can use that story to explain what the Torah's Chaim means, and then come back to our Parsha. So in Bereishis Perek Daled, in the story of Cain and Hevel, after Cain is punished, he says to Hashem in Perek Daled, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer Cain el Ad Hashem gadol avonim neso. So Cain says that my punishment is too great for me to carry. Hein girashto osia yom me'alpnei adamo mipanecha es aser v'yisi nava nad ba'aretz v'yachol motzi yargeni. So Cain says to Hashem that I'm going to be traveling all over, and anybody who finds me is going to kill me. He's scared. V'yomer lo Hashem, achin kol rei Cain shivasayim yukam v'yasam Hashem l'kain os levoti hakos oso kol motzo. So Hashem, he listens to Cain, and he says that anybody who kills Cain will be punished sevenfold, and he places a sign on Cain that everybody should know that this would happen if they attack him. So it's to protect him. Vayetze Cain lifnei Hashem, vayesha be'aretz Nod kidmas Eden. So Cain left, and he lived in this place called Nod, which was east of Gan Eden. So what was this sign that that Cain was given? So Ramban explains, Mipnei she'amar vayosam Hashem l'Kain os. V'lo omar vayitin lo Hashem os. It doesn't say that God Hashem gave him a sign, o vayas, or he made him a sign. Yoresh esam lo os kavua she'imo tamen. So it sounds like he gave him, or he placed on him, a sign that would be with him all the time. Ulai kishaya nosea mimakom lemakom hayala os me'es Hashem. When he would travel from place to place, he had a sign from Hashem. Mor lo aderech asher yelech ba. It told him which way to go. And this would protect him from going into a path where he would get harmed. Ubebreshis Rabba, the Ramban continues, in the Medrash, Amru ki inyan ze Rabbi Abba Amar kelev masar lo. So Rabbi Abba maintains that the os, the sign that was given to Cain, was a dog. So Cain was given a dog. This was the gift that Hashem gave Cain in order that he could travel with the dog, and the dog would take him into safe places and protect him. Why? Ki mipnei she'ya pachdu min achayos. Since Cain was afraid of the animals, Moser lo achas mehen, shetelech lefanav, Hashem gave him an animal, a dog, to walk before him. Ulumakum sheyefna akelav aleches, yada ki sham tzivolo Hashem lo yeharig ba. And the dog functioned in a way where it would lead Cain to places where he was safe, and it would never take him into a dangerous area. Hiskir bo chachamim os nivze karoy lo, av akavana sheya imo os tamid lehoros lefanav aderech sheyelech ba. The chacham say it was a degradation that he had this os, but really the intention is that this os was with him all the time to tell him where to go and to help him travel. So the Torah teaches us that Cain was given an os, a sign, to protect him. And the Medrash and the Ramban, quotes this Medrash, say that this was a dog. And the purpose of giving him a dog was that the dog would show him the path to travel, and it would show him which place was safe and which place was dangerous. And it was a seeing eye dog for him, so to speak. So what is this idea? What's the concept of a dog? So, you know, nowadays we have dog is a man's best friend. We have this idea that a dog is a special type of animal in relation to man. And what is that special nature of a dog? So the nature of a dog is such that it really can serve man in a more effective way than any other animal. So that's the idea of man's best friend. A dog, it can be trained to serve man in the most effective way possible. And that's why they train dogs for blind people, seeing eye dogs. So dogs really have the ability to place man's welfare before anything else. And that's really the way that a dog can be trained. It can really sense and place man's welfare before man himself. So I think that the pshat in the Torah Chaim, based on the Ramban and Cain, is this idea about dogs, which is that dogs' nature are that sometimes they can sense a danger or something that's positive before their owners can sense it. Because a person could be distracted. A person has other thoughts on their mind. But a dog's primary focus oftentimes is for the owner, is to protect the owner, is to help the owner. So dogs can sometimes sense things in the environment that an owner might not sense, but because the dog is more attuned to the owner and more attuned to protecting the owner, so therefore the dog is more attuned to the environment around us. And the dog can sometimes sense, either through its natural senses of smell and eyesight, but also because it's more focused in terms of protecting its owners, it can sometimes sense things that are occurring in the environment that the human can't sense. And I think that's what the Gemara is alluding to when it says that klavim are bochim and the malchum avos is present. I don't think it means that a kelev, a dog, can really see the angel of death, or the dog is playing when Eliyahu comes. What it means is that the dog is capable of alerting its owners to a danger that the owner might not be aware of, because a dog has a sense of the environment. It can focus on the environment for the sake of the owner, sometimes more so than the owner themselves. Because the owner, a person is distracted by their mind and by their thoughts, and a lot of times a person has a lot of stuff going on and they can't really sense what's going on in the environment around them. But a dog is so attuned to its owner and protecting its owner that a dog can sense either a good in the environment or a negative in the environment. So I think that's what the Gemara is alluding to, and that's the nature of a dog. That's what it means that dogs are tzoek when the malchum avis bala ear. It means that their insight into the environment is such that when they sense something dangerous, they alert their owners even before the owner is aware of it. And that's the nature of a dog. And that's what the Gemara is alluding to, and that's what the Torah is teaching us with Kayin. And Kayin was given this as a chesed. He was given a dog because of this nature of a dog, that the dog's capable of doing this and capable of sensing a danger that the owner might not be aware of because the owner is distracted. The dog has a keen ability to sense that. So now, with that idea, so what's the pshat in the Torah, according to the first explanation of the Riva? Why is it so essential that the Torah teach us that the dogs were barking, but nevertheless, they didn't snarl at the Jews during Makas Bechoros? So I think it's perfect. It works out perfectly. Because the Torah is teaching us that despite the fact that in the environment, the dogs were perceiving the environment of danger, and they were perceiving this through their sense of protecting their owners, they were perceiving a sense of danger that was present during Makas Bechoros, maybe that people wouldn't perceive or wouldn't be able to see. But nevertheless, the Jews didn't sense it at all. And that's the idea that the dogs didn't snarl at them. It means that the Jews were protected from any sense or any feeling or sense of danger occurring to them. So even though it existed in the environment, because the dogs were attuned to it and the dogs sensed it and they were screaming, they were barking, they were tzoakim, but nevertheless, the idea is that in Makas Bechoros, the Jews had no sense of fear, no sense of danger, because the dogs didn't snarl at them. It means that it's a reflection of the idea of the Jews' perception of what was happening. On the one hand, they knew that the Mitzrayim were being killed, but on the other hand, there was no sense in the environment of this danger, of this present danger to them. And that's the idea of Asher Yafla Hashem Bei Mitzrayim Uvein Yisrael, that the Torah says in Zion at the end, that this is a sign that Hashem separated the Jews from the Mitzrayim. He didn't just separate them physically so that the Mitzrayim were killed and the Jews weren't, the Bechors, but he also separated them environmentally. And this is demonstrated through the idea that the dogs didn't snarl at them. It means that the Jews were protected, and they didn't sense any danger in the environment around them. They weren't fearful at all. There was no fear on the part of the Jews that this would happen to them, that this danger was imminent to them. So that's the idea of the dogs. The dogs reflect that because the dogs can sense environmental factors and they typically alert their owners to something negative that's going to happen to them. But in this situation, they didn't. So the Jews knew that the Mitzrayim were being killed because the dogs were screaming. But on the other hand, they didn't sense any imminent danger to themselves. And that's the Chiddush. That's the idea of the dog's reaction to the angel of death in Makas Bechoros. That's the first idea in the Gemara, in the Riva based on the Gemara. Okay, the second idea now, hopefully that makes sense. If anybody has any questions, just stop me as usual. So the second idea is that the dogs normally bark at night. And that's the second parish in the Riva in source number 2. It's about 2 lines down. It says, so even though dogs normally bark at night, nevertheless, they didn't snarl at the Jews. So this is a different shot. It's not saying that dogs... not like dogs bark at the Malachim Avos, this is dogs barking at night. So what is the idea of dogs barking at night? So there's another Gemara on this topic, which I think is also relevant, which I believe he's quoting. So the Gemara is in Brachos, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. It's about dogs, and not dogs in general. It mentions this idea. In source number 8, it says, Desanya, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Shalosh Mishmaros Havi Alayla. There are 3 breaks in the nighttime. There are 3 categories of night, or 3 times a night. Va'al kol mishmar u'mishmar, each section of the night, Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shoei ka'ari. So the Hashem, he sits and he roars like a lion. Shenamar, Hashem mimarom yishag u'mima'on katsho yitain kolo sha'og yishag al neveu. It says that Hashem, he roars from above, and from his holy dwelling place, he sends out his voice, he roars mightily on his dwelling place. V'simin l'davar, so what's the sign for these 3 different time periods of night? If you break up the night into 3 periods, what are the signs? Mishmar rishona chamor noar. So the first mishmar, the first portion of the night, is when the donkey cries, it brays, it has this loud, obnoxious cry. Shania, the second sign in the middle of the night is klovim tzoakim. It's when the dogs bark or they scream. Shlishis, and the third part of the night, is tinok yonek mishade imo v'isha misaparis imbala. The last mishmar, the last section of the night, is when the child is nursing and the wife speaks to her husband. It's early in the morning. So there are three parts of the night. The first part of the night is when the donkey screams, cries. The second part is when the dogs are tzoek in the middle of the night. And the last part is when the baby nurses and the wife speaks to her husband. So what are these three signs of these three breakdowns or breakups of the mishmaros? So if we understand this idea of the dogs screaming at night or being tzoek at night, maybe we can understand what the Torah is trying to teach us in the second pshat. So the Marsha in source number 9 explains that there's a mashal, there's an idea, an analogy being created by these names. He says in source number 9, Gam ki vaday hadvarim ki mashmon ukpshatan yesh lanu loses tam b'simanim halalu. So why does the Torah, why does the Gemara give these signs for the three mishmaros? The donkey, the dogs, and the nursing child. V'hu mevuar b'mashakasav b'chelkei nefesh ha'adam. So he says that there's three aspects to man's nature. Shehem gimel kochos. There are three strengths. Karum tivis, chiyunis, v'sichlis. They're called the natural, the vital, and the sichlis, the intellectual. Ubalei kabbalah, those who have this Kabbalah, this Mesorah, Karum Nefesh Ruach Uneshama. So there are three names. Nefesh is the Tivis, natural. Ruach is the Chiyunis, which is vital, life. Uneshama, which is the soul, which is Sichlis. V'chol pe'ulas ha'adam kefiya pe'ulav ha'maisa nimshach acharei kol echad mehem. All the actions of man are really an expression of each one of these life forces. Kefi siman ha'myuchadlo, based on the sign that's specific to them. So he explains, Vine bepulasam asher belaila techalek alam halailash. So based on their act, the actions that are expressed from these three strengths of man, of humanity, the night is divided up based on those. Shebetchilaso ha'adam ba mimalachto v'asakav. The beginning of night, a person comes back from work and he's tired. Shebechol yom v'hu tarud b'hem, but he's still engaged in his job and his work. Kedilah kamon adam ba minasadeh. So he says that this is all natural for man. This is all the natural part of man, which stems from the raw nature of Adam. The alkein nosin bo simon shebo chomor noer. That's why it calls it the first chomor from chomer, from the raw essence of man, chomor noer, a donkey that cries out. Uve emtsayis, so that's the first. The first portion of night is when man comes home and he's tired and he's tired in his work, and that he calls, or he stems from the natural, the tivis, that strength of man. Uve'emtsai sha'alayla derov olam heim yeshenim, the middle of the night when most people are sleeping, almitasam, ve'ein pol b'hem rak nefesh achiyunis, that's when it's just life. Man is not active, he's just living. It's when you're asleep, it's just your life force that exists. Haruchnias ve'eis hashina, when a man is sleeping, k'masha kasub yadcha afkid ruchi, V'oz nitan rishus gam l'ruchos ulmazikin lifo ba'olam. So at that time, when man is sleeping, that's when all the things occur in the nighttime, the dangerous things that occur in the outside world. Kimasha kasav makas bechoros, which is mentioned by makas bechoros, b'chatzi alayla, in the middle of the night. V'alkein nitan bo siman shebo klavim tzoakim. That's why there's this sign that the dogs bark or scream at night. Kimasha kasu b'makas b'choros, just like by makas b'choros, l'chol b'nei Yisrael l'yecharatz kelev, that by makas b'choros the dogs didn't snarl. Al pi masha kasu klovim tzoakim malacham aves bala'ir. So he ties it back to the other Gemara, that the dogs cry out when the malacham aves bala'ir. V'makas b'choros shenitan reshus l'mashlis l'chabal v'mitzrayim. During makas b'choros, when the angel of death was given permission to destroy, so he says the klovim were screaming, but nevertheless, Bnei Yisrael, they didn't snarl at Bnei Yisrael. So the Marsha ties this idea of the klovim tzoakim back to the Malacham Aves, but I think there's a slightly different way to interpret it. And the last idea is Ushlisha Acharon, the last part of the night, min alayla shekvar gamara adam shinaso v'hu manoach umergoa. When a person is rested, they wake up. Kimosha Amar That's when man is ready for learning and for davening, which is part of the intellectual, which is tied to the neshama. That's why the sign is a child nursing, because the child nursing is a remez the Torah, that the child is learning Torah. It's gaining knowledge from its mother. Aldas dadeh yaruvucha, they quote a pasuk. Ma darazeh kol shash atinok yonek mimeno motza botam afa Torah. So the idea is that the third part of the night is when people wake up and now they're ready to learn and they're ready to engage their neshama, their intellectual. So there are three parts of the night. The first part is man's physical, I guess, his natural, where he's tired and he's involved in work. Then there's just the life force when he's sleeping, and that's when the dogs cry out or scream. And the last is in the morning when man wakes up and they're rested. And each of these simanim in the Gemara are references to these types of actions of man in those portions of the night. But what's the idea of the klavim tzoakim? So the Marsha ties it back to the Malchum Avos, but I think it's a different idea, a little bit. See, at nighttime, when man is sleeping and he's not awake and he's not engaged in the world, so there's a lack of obedience being expressed on the dog, because dogs are obedient creatures and they're subject to man's training, humanity's training. But when people are asleep, then the dog can act naturally and it could bark, it could scream, it could do what it wants. So maybe the Gemara is alluding to the idea, perhaps, that at nighttime is a time when typically there's a lack of control. Humans are sleeping, dogs can do what they want. The Marsha says that it's a time for mazikim, which means that it's a time of fear, it's a time where there's a lack of control in the world. At nighttime, everyone's out, everyone's sleeping. And that's why that's the idea of the dogs screaming at night. It's an idea that there's no obedience, there's no master taking control over them, they could do what they want. So maybe the idea is, that's another idea back to our Torah, our Parsha, and Bo, the idea of the dogs screaming out, according to the second parish of the Briva, is that idea, that they were screaming out in the middle of the night because it seemed like, by the Mitzrayim, that there was no control and people were dying and everyone was dying. But with regard to the Jews, there was a complete and utter control over the situation. So the second idea is Lo Yecharatz Kel V'Shono, is the idea that dogs were screaming because, or as a reflection of the situation being somewhat out of control by the Mitzrayim. But with regard to the Jews, there was a sense of complete control over the situation. So it's similar to the first pshat. The first pshat is that the Jews didn't sense that imminent danger. But the second pshat is that there was, even though normally or typically at nighttime there's a lack of control, but in this situation, even though it seemed like there was a lack of control, there was a complete control on the part of God in this Makkah. And it was, and the Jews were in recognition of that. So that's what it means, L'yecharatz kel v'shono. It means that the dogs indicated to Klal Yisrael this idea that there is an obedience, there is a system here, there's a complete control over what was going on, despite the fact that they were barking and they were screaming because it was nighttime. It was a time which typically is a time where there's a lack of control. In this situation, there was complete control. So that's what the Torah is trying to teach us, that the Jews sensed that. They sensed the level of control of the situation of Makas Bechoros. So the first pshat is that the Jews did not feel an imminent danger, and that's the idea of the dogs not snarling. And the second pshat is that the Jews recognized that there was a complete control in this situation of what was happening. It wasn't just haphazard that they weren't killed, but there was complete control on the part of God. And the last idea about the dog's reaction, why it's important, is the third pshat in the Riva, that the dogs, They didn't bark, even though they saw people with their staffs, they didn't bark at them. So what's that idea? So what is that concept? So the last idea is in source number 10, the Toldos Yitzchak. He adds in one other factor, which I think explains it. So he says, L'chol b'nei Yisrael lo yecharatz kel v'shono. Perish, he quotes the same Pirushim of the Riva, but he adds one extra word. Perish, shemin aroi haya sheyin v'chu l'fi shamake haysa b'mishmar shniyah klavim tzoakim. The first idea is that they should have been barking because it occurred in the middle of the night. Nevertheless, they didn't snarl or bark at the Jews. Another explanation is that a man who's walking hastily at night, dogs, they bark at him. And even more so, if the person's holding a walking stick, Uchsiv u'makalchem biyadchem, and it says that they had their walking sticks with them, ready to leave Mitzrayim. So the third pshat, he adds in this idea that when a person walks b'chipazon, when they walk hastily and they're fast, that's when the dogs bark. So what is this idea? See, dogs sense, this is the last idea, dogs sense when a person's trying to escape and they're trying to run away. And when you start running from a dog starts running after you, barking at you. So the Torah is telling us that it should have been that the dogs were barking at the Jews because they were told to walk out b'chipazon, and they had their walking sticks. So the dog can sense that the Jew is trying to run away, it's trying to escape. But the idea that the Torah is trying to express is that even though it was b'chipazon and the Jews were running, or they were walking with their walking sticks, but the b'chipazon wasn't a chipazon of running away, of trying to escape because they were scared, which is typically what the dog senses. The dog senses fear when a person's running and running away fast. Here there was chipazon, there was a speed to the way the Jews left Mitzrayim, but it wasn't a speed of fear. It wasn't a speed because they were scared of the Mitzrayim. It was a calm speed. It was a chipazon, which didn't reflect any type of pachad, any fear on the part of the Jews. And the makelchem was just practical. It wasn't because they were running away scared. So that's what it means, lo yechratz kel v'shino. It means that the dogs didn't bark. It means that when the Jews left Mitzrayim, the chipazon, it wasn't the chipazon that typically a dog would sense and bark after the Jews because they're trying to run away. No, they weren't trying to run away. They were calm. The chipazon was out of necessity, out of practicality, but it wasn't because they were scared. And that's the idea of the Torah. The Torah is trying to teach us that dogs sense fear in man, and there was no fear in their escape. It was not a fearful escape. It was one of pride. And the fact that they took all the gold out and the silver out, it was one of complete conquering of the Mitzrayim and complete victory. So that's the third idea. So again, I just wanted to summarize those three ideas, and then we'll get to one other point. So the three ideas are that the first pshat in the Riva is that the dogs, they typically alert their owners to danger that an owner might not suspect or might not be aware of. But in this situation, the Torah is teaching us that the dogs didn't snarl at the Jews, they didn't react, so the Jews didn't sense any imminent danger. There was no imminent danger present for the Jews. Even though it existed by the Mitzrayim, it didn't exist by the Jews. And that's part of the separation of the Jews from the Mitzrayim. The second idea is that the Jews sensed the sense of control in this situation. That it wasn't like a typical night where people are sleeping and everything's out of control. No. The idea of the dog not snarling is that even though the dog barks at night because there's no obedience, everyone's sleeping, but by the Jews, by Makas Bechoros, there was a complete sense of control that Hashem was controlling this situation. And the last idea is that the Torah is teaching us that the chipazon of the Jews when they left Mitzrayim was not one out of trying to run away, out of fear. And typically a dog senses fear and they chase after a person who's running away. And when you run, the dog runs faster. But in this situation, the chipazon and the makelchem wasn't out of fear. It was out of necessity, out of practicality, but not out of fear. And that's the last idea that the Riva is trying to express in his three explanations. So one other interesting point that I'll mention, the Torah Tmima says, based on a Gemara in Brachos, this is an important point. He says, Tanu Rabbanan, Hakroa Kelev Bacholom, if you see a dog in a dream, Yashkim B'yomar L'chol B'nei Yisrael L'yecharatz Kelev Hashono. Wake up. When you wake up, you should say this pasuk, that no dog in Makas Bechoros snarled at any Jew. Kodem she'kadmenu pasuk acher, before you remember or say another pasuk, which is v'aklovim aze nafsho, that dogs are greedy. So the Gemara explains that if you have a dream with a dog in it, the first thing you should do when you wake up is you should say this pasuk, l'yacharatz kel v'shono, before you say the other pasuk, in Yeshaya, klovim aze nefesh. So the question is, why should you do that? What's that idea? Okay? So I think that this is an interesting point that the Torah Tmima mentioned in source number 13. So the Torah Tmima says that Inyan Amiras HaPasuk HaZeh Nira, why do we say, if you see a dog in a dream, why should you say Lo Yechratz Kel V'Shono? Debechlal Tzarech Adam Liftor Lo Chalomo L'Tova. So the Gemara is teaching us that when a person has the option of interpreting a dream for good or for bad, Ya'an kol chalomos hochin achar pisron, you should go with a good explanation, because most dreams, the way they're interpreted has more of an effect on the person than the dream itself. Kimavuar b'Yerushalmi Meiser Sheni Parik Dal Lachavav, like the Yerushalmi explains, Kolach Alomos Holchin Achar Pesron. So dreams sometimes can impact a person emotionally, psychologically, more so based on the explanation of the dream than the dream itself. Uvivavli Brachos Nune Amud Beis Haloshon Achar Peh V'Akavona Achar Pesron. So the language goes after that which you say, and the kavana, the intent, is after the explanation. V'lachin tov shi'yifter lo adam es chalomo b'lashon tov. You should use a good explanation to explain a dream. V'oda inyan lefaneinu reish parak miketz. V'kum avuar b'parak haroa. V'kama kama inyanim shiroa adam b'chalom. So in Brachos, there's a lot of dream ideas. If you see this in a dream, you should say this. If you see this in a dream, you should say that. And it's trying to teach us that anytime you see something in a dream, the Yishbahem Natius Latovo Lara, and you can interpret the dream in a good way or a bad way, yet post Belashon Hanota Latova. You should try to attach a good language to the dream to explain it. The Chach Yalelo Mipnesha Kol Hole Chachar Pisron, and that's will be more beneficial to him because the explanation of a dream is sometimes more impactful than the dream itself. Uvizet Drusazum Mivuaris, the Obiarnim Izeb, Reish Parak Mike to Yunan Sham. So the Torah Tzvim explains that the Gemara is teaching us in a lesson here, that when you see a dog, you should say the good pasuk, lo yecharatz kel v'shono, before you say the pasuk about the dog being greedy, being dangerous, because of the fact that this is a situation where you can interpret a dream in two different ways. You can either interpret it in a positive way, which will have a positive effect on you and your emotions and your psyche, or you can interpret the dream in a negative way, which will really harm you. And the Gemara is teaching us that there are many examples where a person has an opportunity to affect how impactful the dream will be on your personality. And the way that you react to the dream is sometimes more important than the dream itself on the impact to your personality. So the Gemara is teaching us that when you see a dog in a dream, there's two ways you can go. Either you can go positive or you can go negative. So the Torah is teaching us that you should think about this idea that the Jew is protected from the dog snarls by Makas Bechoros, meaning that there's some positive idea to the dream. The dream's trying to express some positivity to you as opposed to teaching you some negative idea that the dog's trying to get you, trying to destroy you, trying to bite you. So all those would be negative. So the Gemara is teaching us this idea about dogs, but dreams with dogs, that this is a situation where a person has to recognize that when you have a dream, a lot of times the way you interpret it, the way you react to the dream will also affect the impact of the dream on you. And it's an important idea in terms of trying to deal with either a bad dream, something that you interpret as bad, or a good dream. So that's the idea in the Gemara. So that's really the end of the share. So the last point, maybe we'll take up on a different share. It's a separate point. But so the main idea in the share is the three pshatim and the riva, that the dogs really sense the danger in the environment, so the Jews were protected from that. And the second idea, which I said before, is the concept that dogs at nighttime bark because there's no obedience, there's no control, but this situation was one of complete and utter control by Hashem. And the last idea is that dogs typically sense fear, there's no fear in the escape of the Jews. And the last idea I just want to mention is this idea about dreams, about dream interpretation, that the Gemara is teaching us based on the Torah Tmimah, that a person has to recognize that the interpretation of a dream can have more of an impact on you than the dream itself, and you should always tend or try to interpret a dream in a positive way rather than a negative way if you have the option or the opportunity. All right? So thank you. Any questions? Anybody have any questions on the share?
Thank you.